tonight I want to speak to you concerning the need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost today like we've never needed Him before. Had I not have been baptized with the Holy Ghost the night after I was saved, I'd have never made it to this point. Because He's given me the power and the ability to live for Him. I would have never stood when Dad pulled that gun that day and said, I don't know whether to kill you or laugh at you, because of my decision to follow Jesus. Because He thought I had lost my mind, because He'd hear me in that old cold back bedroom praying in other tongues. And He said, boy, something bad got on you down there at that church. Can I tell you, they need it from the White House to the outhouse today. They need this something that got a hold of me and got a hold of many of you tonight. Can you say amen? In traveling, I have a concern. I'm concerned that we're not experiencing the biblical Holy Ghost as we need to today in many circles. Not long ago, I preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and our need for Him, and asked people who didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to please raise their hand, and several raised their hands, but not a one felt the need to come and receive Him that night. And what's sad is that I see this happening today. Now, when I was saved back in 1972, it was not an option. They said you had to have it. You'll never make it, boy, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I believe they knew what they were talking about back in 1972. Tonight, if you're turning your Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Again, Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I admire your pastor because of, thank you, my brother, because I saw a pastor's heart at work at about 4:30 this morning. I'm younger than he is, I think, less mature than he is. And I gave out on him about 4:30, somewhere along there. He was still here watching the water. They got out in that water. I didn't feel led to do that. Some of them had shorts on. Others of them made shorts of their breeches they had on, pulled the socks and shoes off. And I can tell you one thing about your pastor. He doesn't run around in short-legged breeches, because those legs will put your eyes out. They were so pale. I can tell you that. Amen. I'm sorry, Pastor, I shouldn't have divulged this personal information. Don't, Pastor, please don't do that. But I saw a pastor's heart, because he stayed with the church. In the middle of that water rising, he stayed with it. And I heard him tell the police officer, when a police officer come by to check on us, I'll be here all night. I won't be going nowhere. And when I left out this morning going to Anniston to preach, I saw his little GMC out here beside the building parked. I want to tell you, that's a pastor's heart, folks. And you need to thank God for that every day of your life. Amen? Amen. Let's give God praise tonight for a man of God that He puts in our lives. Amen. Are you ready for the reading of God's Word? Would you stand with me for the reading of His holy word tonight? John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knoweth Him not, seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch me with that touch tonight that makes preaching and ministry effective. Anoint me with that anointing that makes preaching and ministry effective. Father, I didn't come to show off. I didn't come to fill a time slot on the calendar. I come to be used of Almighty God. Touch me, Father, tonight with a great anointing from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, and the anointing of Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I ask God tonight that you will fill believers with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I pray that anyone here tonight who does not have this precious gift will receive it before they leave here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering of praise before we're seated tonight, church? God bless you. You may be seated. The need of the Holy Ghost. We have need of this experience, church, in our lives. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 records the first time this experience was ever afforded to humanity. In Acts chapter 2, the first initial historic outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Jesus made it clear that worldlings could not receive the Spirit because they see him not, neither knoweth him. He went on to say, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He's called Comforter. And in the Greek, the word comforter means one called alongside to help. And I'm telling you tonight that he is a priceless helper. He is a helper that no one or nothing could ever match in any way. The Holy Ghost. Not only is the Holy Ghost called alongside to help, but he will abide with us forever. He said, Jesus said, I go away, but I send you back the Comforter. He said, I have to go, because if I don't go, he won't come. Oh, I'm here to tell you that the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost is so needed in each of our lives corporately and in our church as well. Why do we need the Holy Ghost, church? Why is it important, preacher, that you say we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? First of all, we need him because he reproves the world of sin. Now, we need a revival of a term that we don't use a whole lot anymore, that especially is not comfortable when we're lost. It's not comfortable when we are not right either. It's a term called conviction. We need a revival of old-time conviction in this world. We need a revival of old-time conviction again in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was preaching in Clarksville, Georgia, and on Tuesday night of the revival a few weeks ago, a man came to me. I've stayed in his home, him and his wife's home, and they're just precious people. And he came to me and said, Brother Jones, pray for my brother. He's in a gospel group. They travel all the time, and my brother lives with a woman. Now, I took it by the way he said it, that it wasn't his woman. And he said, Pastor, he sees nothing wrong with it. He thinks everything is all right. We need a revival of old-time conviction again that lets us know that the way we live sometimes is not in line with the Word of God or with the Lord himself. Amen. I still believe that conviction is necessary in our lives. Now, how many of you have been perfect since you got saved? Can I see your hands? Now, wait a minute. I thought sure some of you were perfect. How many of you blown it a few times since you've been saved? All right. Now, that was just a few hands, so that tells me that the rest of you blown it like me many times. I've had to go back and ask God to forgive me many, many times since getting saved. Now, I pastored a lady one time. She would tell you she'd been saved 50-something years and never sinned a day in her life since she got saved. Now, I think she sinned right there because she lied to me. The Holy Ghost brings about conviction and lets us know that we're in need of a Savior. Now, the Word of God set me free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth was that Jesus died for me. He wants to save me, and He will save me if I will just surrender to Him. But before that truth set me free, it made me mad. Because I was saved in a day when there wasn't no gray matter. It was black or white. And they had the audacity in Southeast Oklahoma in 1972 to tell me I was going to hell without Jesus in my life. Of all the audacity of church people to tell a young man he's going to hell. Well, something got a hold of me and began to stir in there. And after I left that little parsonage, it was just a one-by mobile home. We got those two-bys now, those double mobile homes. It was one of these old one-bys, and I think it was made in 1822 or something. It was hot in the summer and cold in the winter. And after I got through and I left that little parsonage, I started down the road, and it wouldn't quit. It just kept stirring over in here. Just kept rolling over and over and over. What that preacher said to me. How I wasn't good enough to go to heaven without Jesus, but I was too good to go to hell. But I would wind up there if I wouldn't receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I no more than got home and got out of that old truck till I turned around and got back in it and drove back up to the little church of God, knocked on that little old parsonage door, and asked what time church started on Saturday night. And I got saved. What was happening, preacher? The Holy Ghost began to convict me and take the Word of God and stir in me and let me know that I was in need of a Savior. He was reproving me of my sins. The Bible said in John 16 and 8, and when He has come, He will reprove, which means convince or convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, they were pricked or cut to their heart. In their heart, they were convicted by the Spirit and said, what shall we do? This was the result of Peter's message on Pentecost. Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, a result of Stephen's message. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. This was the Spirit's conviction, and they gnashed on Him with their teeth. Acts chapter 16. Verse 29 and 30, when God delivered Paul and Silas by an earthquake, the Philippian jailer fell down before Paul and Silas and said, what must I do to be saved? Oh, hounds of heaven, get after the lost and nip them at their heels until they surrender to Jesus Christ. In the old days, we used to pray a prayer, oh, God, take sleep from them. Interrupt their sleep pattern. Take away their appetite from them. I've heard that on the job, they'd be working their job and just start crying for no reason in the world. Just start weeping. What is it? It's a conviction of the Holy Ghost that reached down and touched them and began to let them know you need Jesus. He died for you. You need to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a better life for you. You don't have to stay bound by these alcohol and drugs, but you can be set free by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is the answer to sin's problem. Conviction. We need a revival of it again. My old papa in the Lord, Michael was talking about, went home and be with the Lord 2 years ago now, next month, I believe. One of the greatest men of God I've ever known in my life. He died at 91 and a half years old. Had a stroke early Sunday morning. And died on Wednesday night. But the Sunday before, he preached the Word of God. At 91 and a half years old. And preached every Sunday since he's quote unquote retired. He didn't retire until he was probably 85, 86, 87 years old. And he only did it then because his feet and legs bothered him so bad he couldn't fly no more. He couldn't go no more and preach like he used to all over the country. But when he died, I said, "Oh God, don't let what he has go to the grave. God, please don't let it go with him. Give it to me. God, give it to me." The greatest man I ever knew. And he used to describe conviction like this. It was that began to tickle you underneath about the fifth rib and wouldn't let go and wouldn't quit until you responded to that voice that was calling inside of you. Whew. Glory to God. Thank God for it, church. It is imperative that we understand and that we know we need the Holy Ghost for conviction's sake. And then number two, we need the Holy Ghost because he comforts the Christian. Anybody ever needed comfort before? We'll need it again. He comforts the Christian. The Bible said the churches were edified or built up in the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord and of the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. We need the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He's called Comforter at least four times in the New Testament alone. John 14 and 16, John 14, 26, John 15, 26, and John 16, 7. One call alongside to help. Help me when I can't take another step. Help me when I don't know what direction to go. I must tell you, I lean on the Holy Ghost every moment of my life. I prayed yesterday in the parsonage, "Oh God, lead me by the Spirit of God. God, lead me by the Spirit of the Lord. Lead me by the Spirit. Help me, oh God, to always be sensitive to the Spirit. Help me, God, to be full of the Holy Ghost and fire all the days of my life." It is imperative that we have him to comfort us when we're down, when we're hurting, and we don't know if we can go anymore or not. I was on an airplane, Gail and I, way back yonder. It was June 11th or 12th, I believe it was, might have been the 10th, of 1900. Boy, that sounds like a long time ago. 1982. We had boarded a plane in Cincinnati, Ohio, and our destination was Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We would then get in a car and drive down south over 100 miles to my 19-year-old brother's funeral, who took his own life at the end of a shotgun. I must tell you, I cried. And I cried for several years afterwards. The last 2 years I've been out to Oklahoma, I always go by the cemetery. I don't mean anything by this. I'm not some crazy idiot. But I talked to him. I just want you to know, baby, I miss you. I want you to know I got a grandbaby. Oh, you'd love him. I talked to him like that. Now, is he hearing you? Probably not. But it's just my way of doing things. And I'm not crazy, weird, or anything like that. That's just what I do. And normally I'll stand there in the water or just flow out of my eyes. But the last 2 years, God has helped me. And I hadn't shed a tear. I've talked to him. Look at his grave. Wipe the sweat, because he's usually in July and August when I get out there. Go back and get in the car and drive off for another year or so. But thousands of feet up in that old airplane, 1982, I began to sing an old song I got leaving on my mind that Rusty Goodman was singing at that time. And somewhere between Cincinnati and Oklahoma City, without the pilot opening a door, without the stewardess welcoming him on board, the Lord hopped on board. And with my eyes towards the window and tears falling out of them, Questions in my heart, oh God, why? Why, God? Why was such a fine young man? He was just 18, 19 years old. Why, God? I don't understand. And the Holy Ghost come by. Now, I don't know that he done this, but this is what I just kind of believe he done. He just reached over and just tapped me on the head. And when he did, there was such comfort come over me. Such a sweet spirit come over me. Did you stop crying, preacher? Nope, didn't stop crying. But it was different now. I didn't feel that sorrow as one who did not have any hope. But I began to experience that sorrow as one who had hope. Because I have to believe that one day, someday, I'll see him again. I have to believe that somewhere along the line, he had enough time to say, oh God, I've done wrong, forgive me, I'm sorry, save my soul. Don't try that. Don't try it. You're gambling too much when you do it. But for someone who's gone on like that, God, I choose to believe that somewhere along the line, you showed them mercy and gave them enough breath and time and sense about them. Can I use that word, sense? Is that all right? About them to know what to do. All the times that I've had the Holy Ghost come by and comfort me and love on me and take care of me when no one else could seem to say the right words. Children, I'm going to tell you something. I've been in people's homes when I've tried to say the right things, Pastor. I've said what the book said to say at Lee University, but it didn't seem to be the right thing to say. And I'd just say, oh God, you got to help us here. And somehow the Holy Ghost would come by and just touch that individual and minister to them and help them in a way that I or you or nobody else could ever help them. He's a heavenly helper in such a day that we live in, church. You need the Holy Ghost because he's a comfort to the Christian. Nobody can comfort you like the Holy Ghost can comfort you. Now, I'm old-fashioned, and I may get in trouble here, but that'll be all right. I'm big enough to shoulder the blame. I see people take pills to comfort themselves. Hello? I, for one, choose to allow the Holy Ghost to comfort me. Say, Lord, if you can't do it, can't nobody do it. I never have taken pills. I don't even take a Tylenol. Gail will tell you she can't even get me to take a Tylenol because I'm afraid I OD on it. And the newspaper read the next morning, Pentecostal preacher OD'd on a Tylenol. And that wouldn't be a good witness for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go ahead and laugh. It's funny. I just don't care for medicine. My thinking is I can take that pill when I'm hurting. And it might pump me up artificially for a while, but there's got to come a day when I come back down to reality again, and it's all right back there facing me in the face again. So I might as well just get along with God and let the Holy Ghost reach down and touch me and walk in the power and the comfort and the spirit of Almighty God and go on and do good. Amen? We need the Holy Ghost because he comforts us today. And church, unless I'm wrong, we're going to need him in the future more than we've ever needed him before as a believer. I see some things coming, children. I see some things are coming. And we're going to need this comfort of the Holy Ghost. Then the word comfort means to strengthen much, to ease, to encourage Christians in times of suffering and sorrow. The next thing I want to share with you is the reason why we need the Holy Ghost is because he helps our infirmities. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That word infirmities means any weakness in body, soul, spirit, faith, ability is an infirmity. The Greek word is translated weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. That means to intercede, to act as an agent or a manager. The Greek word is translated to deal with. He'll make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm as Pentecostal as Noah was Arky. And he was pretty archy. He spent a lot of time with that thing and on that thing. He spent a lot of time working on it, and he spent a lot of time in it and on it. I'm Pentecostal from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I wasn't raised in it, but I got baptized full of it. I inherited it from my big brother Jesus. He baptized me fully in it. And I got what they used to call the Holy Ghost and far. Am I far enough south that I can say far? And I got what they used to call the Holy Ghost and power. Power. Listen to me, church. Oh, how I've had the Holy Ghost pray through me when I didn't know how to pray. We were traveling in Middle Tennessee for some reason. I don't know where. I think maybe we might have been coming back from Tennessee State Camp Meeting. And we stopped off in Cookeville, Tennessee. I got word that a lady I used to pastor was there, and she'd had a heart attack. And in the process of running all tests for the heart, they diagnosed her with 4-stage lung cancer. I went by to pray for her. She was as skinny as a rail, about as big as that pen you're holding in your hand. Skinny little thing. Her husband died with cancer. Her son-in-law just died with cancer in his 40s. I said, God, you can't take Sister Pope. You can't take Sister Pope, God. I walked into that room, and there was family around. There were believers and non-believers, and there were those filled with the Holy Ghost and those that weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, and those that probably thought I was strange at times. And we made small talk, and I said, Sister Pope, Gail and I, honey, just come by to pray for you. She said, Pastor, it's going to be all right. God's going to help me. He done told me he's going to help me. We had prayer. I started out saying, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I never said another word in English until I said amen. I tried to stop it. I tried to say thank you, Jesus, to get to stop speaking in tongues. But it just wouldn't come out thank you, Jesus. It come out something else. And I got through praying and finally said amen. And I opened my eyes, and some of them had their eyes as big as that clock hanging on that wall back there. They were big looking at me. And I'm thinking, you up to something here, Lord. You up to something here. The Holy Ghost began to pray. Can I tell you that the reason why the Holy Ghost prays is because he's praying the will of the Father. The Bible says he prays according to the will of the Father. That makes that prayer a perfect prayer, and that prayer will be answered every time. So when the Holy Ghost wants to pray through you, you let him pray, because he's praying a perfect prayer by the will of the Father, and that prayer will be answered every time. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't try to cut it off. Let the Holy Ghost roll in the name of Jesus. He makes intercession for you. Amen. Oh, glory. Wasn't too long ago, probably a month or so ago, I don't know where we was at. We might have been in Glasgow. I don't know where I was at. I wake up some mornings thinking, okay, where am I at this morning? I woke myself up. Oh, I know when it was. It was in the bed in Harrison, Ohio. We'd had one of those Saturday night services. Back in October, I don't know whether you've heard this, and this may be too crude, I don't know. This is just how I used to hear it. They were laying on the floor and piled up like cordwood. Well, that dates me, don't it? Till I had to walk like this to pray for another one. Come here. And pray for them. That night I laid down, and I woke myself up speaking in tongues. I said, Gaylor, was I just speaking to? She said, yeah, you said something in tongues. I've drifted off back to sleep, and I remember this. I remember seeing myself smack another one and speak in tongues and woke myself up again. I said, Gaylor, was I speaking in tongues again? She said, yeah, you did it again. Oh, God. I remember as a 16, 17-year-old boy laying in the aisle, and this is a wide aisle, the aisle of that old mobile home we called the Church of God Parsonage in Milburn, Oklahoma. When they made me a pallet after Dad kicked me out the day before I graduated from high school and said, boy, get out there and get it. You said this God of yours will take care of you. Let's see if he will. I remember Nana was my pastor. We had a woman pastor because I couldn't find a man who had the guts to pastor that church. So they had to put a woman in it. And boy, did she do the job. I remember she made me a pallet and said, honey, you just sleep here. And I woke up as a 16-year-old boy one night speaking in other tongues. I didn't know what was going on. I said, Nana, this is what happened. She said, oh, honey, you were talking in the Holy Ghost. You were praying in the Holy Ghost, honey, while you were sleeping. That's what was going on. First encounter I ever had of it. Listen to me, church. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't try to cut it off. If it's the Holy Ghost, honey, he's got some great things in store for you. He's making intercession for you and I. There's times, honey, when we don't know how to pray. Pastor, there's been times when I've got in my time of prayer and said, God, I don't even know how to even start. Literally, I was at a loss on how to even talk to him about a situation. Because I felt like everything I wanted to say would be the wrong thing to say. When all of a sudden, I just began to say, Lord, I don't know. I just know one thing. I love you and you've been good to me. And it wouldn't be long until all of a sudden, I'd start be praying in tongues. And I might go on 30 minutes, 45 minutes like that. But when I get done, I didn't have the load I had when I started. All the times that I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what was the right words to say to him. God, how do I even pray? All I know is I need your will, but God, I'm just at a loss. And the Holy Ghost come down and begin to pray through. Church, we need some more of that in our lives. We need some more of that in our churches where the Holy Ghost prays. I remember being in services when he'd pray. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, help me. Pastor, sometimes I think we've reached a point, honey, where we're so concerned about what somebody's going to think and are offending somebody that we offend him. Sometimes, children, listen to me. We think we're respected today. But you let the real Holy Ghost break out. I shouldn't tell this. I had a council member, one that I know of, and I think there were two. When a message in tongues came out in the service, they walked out, got in their vehicles, and went home. I come to find out later through the Spirit, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And they couldn't take it. My feeling is, good riddance. Sometimes we've gotten so concerned that we don't offend somebody that we have quenched the Spirit. And now when the Spirit begins to pray in the church or speak through us, oh Lord, what is that? I'm trying to be very careful tonight because it has nothing to do with me. I'm exalting him and not me. But if I've heard from the Spirit of God in the last 2 years, on three different occasions, one in East Tennessee, one in southwestern Ohio, and once in Empire, Alabama, he spoke to me and said, this is why I've put you where you are now, is to bring this back to the church. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm just old-time Pentecost in a young body because I got baptized in the old stuff. I got baptized in the fire. And once you've experienced the fire, smoke won't do. I said, once you've had the fire, smoke won't do. Nothing will satisfy like the real Holy Ghost power that comes from heaven above. Amen. Oh, He helps our infirmities. Let him pray through you. Romans 8:27. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's a heavenly helper in a wicked world, and his assistance is invaluable. The next reason why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the church is he teaches us. We have need of teaching today, church, in the church. Now, I'm old-fashioned, again, in the sense that I don't believe people ought to run after personality. If they're going to chase anybody, chase Jesus. I've known people, they'll pick out a high-profile personality, and they'll go everywhere they've got a convention held. And they'll spend money, and they'll give an offering big, and so on and so forth, and the same thing's happening right in our home church. Hello? Now, I'm old-fashioned. Some of them folks, I don't know how they live. And I got a good friend that says, you don't know how some of them live. I do. And I don't believe that believers follow signs and wonders. I believe signs and wonders follow believers. I believe the teacher we need is the Holy Ghost. He's our teacher, and we have need to sit at his feet and be taught of him. Oh, Papa Marsh. I wish you could have met that man. I've never known a more godly man. And I don't know what a prophet looks like. I don't know what a prophet smells like. I don't even know what a real godly prophet wears. But if I ever saw someone that I thought resembled a prophet, oh, Papa Marsh, come about as close to being a real live prophet as I've ever seen in my life. He didn't have no education. His mama died when he was 10 years old and become an alcoholic at 10 years old in the Ozark Mountains of Missouri. He didn't have no education. He quit when he was just a boy. But you'd never know it, because she said the Holy Ghost taught him. He said, I'd pray, God, I can't read this Bible. You know I can't read it. You know, God, I don't understand this Bible. He said he'd pray and wouldn't stop till God give him revelation, until God would do something. He said the Holy Ghost taught him in a heavenly classroom. Pastor in Glasgow, Kentucky, several years ago, there was a revival, quote unquote, broke out in a nearby church. And they were patterning it after the Brownsville revival. How many know that very seldom does God duplicate anything like that? I mean, you can sing all the songs they sing and everything else, but it's very seldom duplicated. God's doing a new thing and a fresh thing in all of our lives. And they were patterning it after the Brownsville revival. They were singing the songs about riding a white horse. And they were doing this and they were doing that. And some of my people were going over there. And I thought, any good pastor worth his salt's going to find out what in the world these people's got into. They were telling me what a move of God there was. Oh, pastor, there ain't nothing like it. It was awesome. Oh, you ought to come. My Lord, I ain't seen nothing like this. And I went and sat down on the back row on a Sunday night. We had some kind of special day, so we didn't have service Sunday night. And I went in. And I left disappointed, just to be honest with you. Because I was looking for something great. And what I saw was what we have. I've experienced it since I was a 16-year-old boy. And my people were leaving my church and going over to this phenomenal God-sent revival where, oh, I say unto thee, my brother, oh, the blessing of God is great upon, and just going for the word. The word. Oh, pastor, a word, a word, I've gotten a word, Pastor. Oh, you ought to come and let the man of God speak a word over you. I've got words spoke over me all the time. Has God given me a word for you? And he said, yep, he sure has. Get off your lazy backside and get on your knees and pray through and let God talk to you. Hello? Chasing everything else for a word. That's not the Holy Ghost, honey. Listen to me. When you run around and you listen to every wind of doctrine there is out there, you're going to wind up confused, frustrated, and many times lost and undone without Jesus. Because you get confused, you just get beside yourself, and after a while you'll just give up and quit. Who is right? Is the pastor telling me the truth or not? This one said this over here, and that one said that over there, and he said that what the pastor said is wrong. That's exactly what's going to happen to you. You stay home. You stay home where you belong and listen to the man of God as he's prayed and fasted and sought the face of God for something to share with you. Amen. And that's good preaching, preacher. Now, I taught our girls. They needed to know something. They didn't need to talk to anybody else. Come to your mom and daddy. You come to your mama and daddy. We'll tell you the truth. You don't have no need to go ask anybody else. You have no need for a teacher but the Holy Ghost. Don't seek it from man. Seek it from him. He'll never lead you wrong. He'll never teach you wrong. He'll never give you a false teaching. There's so much false teaching out there right now, and Pentecostal people are falling for it. They're falling for that garbage. Go to the Holy Ghost and let him teach you. You have need of the Holy Ghost to teach you, church. Let me read on. The Word of God tells us in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. 1 Corinthians 2:13, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, you shall abide in him. What a teacher, and he makes no mistakes. What a teacher. Sit at the feet of the Holy Ghost and let him begin to teach you. Amen. And the next thing I want to share with you, and the final thing I want to share with you, why do we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, preacher? Because he empowers us. The church needs Holy Ghost power today like never before. I'm not meaning to sound ugly, but I know too many people who call themselves Christians. If they were as weak spiritually as they, physically as they are spiritually, they couldn't get up and walk. Because they're weak, because they ain't got no power. They don't have no power. They fall for everything that comes down the pike. Every time you turn around, there's a drama in their life too. Oh, this is going on. They're not able to overcome anything. You don't have time to do nothing. That's because you're praying for them all the time. Saying, oh, God, please don't let them backslide today. Lord, help them. Help them go, God. I've told my girls at times, you're big girls now, and I grow up and act like a big girl. What Little Bit was talking about today when she said, Daddy, I thought I'd say it before you did, was all the times I've told her and her sister there, just because they got a turn signal on don't mean they're going to turn. you sit there and make sure they turn before you move. And just because that sign says stop don't mean they're going to stop. You stop and stay stopped until you know they're stopped. And she said, Daddy, oh, the times you told me. And I said, you won't forget it now, will you, baby? It's a good lesson. It's a good thing. Hear me. I've taught our girls the Holy Ghost is your power. You need power. There are going to be times, honey, when your mom and daddy can't get to you. There's going to be times when the preacher ain't available. There's going to be times when he's out here with his breeches legs rolled up, walking around out here in the water. And he ain't no shape to come pray for you. You need the Holy Ghost. You need him to empower you. God help us. You know what I believe the problem is? We're always trying to figure out a way to build our attendance and everything. And I've heard people say, well, I can tell you exactly what the problem is today. The lack of church attendance is because of the allurements of the world. I don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit. But I do believe this. The lack of church attendance could have something to do with the lack of attraction by the church. When I got saved, they had something. When I got saved, there was power in that little old church. You could set the whole building, kitchen, bathrooms, everything right down in this one room where I was saved at. You could almost set the whole lot building down in this room. But they had something. They had the power of the Holy Ghost. And our little old pastor, Nana, bless her heart, she said she remembered the days when she pastored over in Valiant, Oklahoma. That's southeast Oklahoma. When a drunk husband would come in on Sunday morning about 3 o'clock in the morning and demand that she fix him, get out of that bed and fix me something to eat. And while she was bent over in the cabinets getting out the pans, he took that big cowboy boot and put her in that cabinet. What'd she do? She went on and cooked and prayed and fasted. There come a day when God saved that old man. Came a day when I think when he died, he was right with God, if I understand her daughter correctly. You know what he used to brag about? I know my wife's got the goods because I try her. I try her. And some of us, oh, God help me. First time somebody says something that don't sit well with us, we out. Hello? First time somebody does something we don't agree with, we out and gone. Not me. I ain't going to slap God for the way one of his kids act. I'm going to love on their father and ask him to deal with them. Now, I haven't always been everything Gayla thought I ought to be. Now, I think I've been pretty close to what she needs. But I haven't always been everything she thought she needed. And I'd come back and say, Gail, I'm sorry for acting that way. She said, it's okay. I've just been talking to your daddy about you. Oh, God. We got a problem now. Because my daddy sure thinks a lot of that girl. I'm talking about him. My daddy. Sure thanks a lot of that girl. And when I mistreat her, he takes offense to it. And when she starts talking to him about me, I'm in trouble. I might as well just go ahead and surrender and straighten up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're looking at me like a calf looking at that brand new gate tonight. How many of you have been perfect to your spouses? Can I see your hands? Oh, I thought that man was going to raise his hand right there. Boy, he quickly said, no, 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 no. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need power like never before. Would you come to the instruments, please? Church, in this last day, we need the power of the Holy Ghost like we've never needed him before. Our churches don't have the power we used to have. They used to walk in sick and they were healed when they left. They used to walk in drunk and they were sober when they left. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've witnessed it with my own eyes. I've witnessed them walking in drunk and walking out sober when God got through with them. Amen. I've watched it. I remember the story of two men that came in and sat down on that back row back there. Holy Ghost was moving. They were singing Amazing Grace. It had 14 verses and 25 choruses. And they got to shouting and the bobby pins went to flying and the hair went to flying. Some of it come off. It really did. I'm serious. Some of it come off. I'm serious. You've seen it happen. And one looked at the other and said, "We better get out of here. This stuff's of the devil." The other looked at him and said, "No, I beg to differ with you. If it was of the devil, we'd be full of it tonight." Oh, God, one more time, fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost in the church one more time. One more time, fill us with the power of God that we used to have and that we can have again today. I have to have it. I have to live on it. I have to lean on it. I can't make it without it, because I was told when I got saved, honey, you can't make it without him. You'll never make it without him. And I must confess to you, I'd have never made it without him. Because when my sister told me later, "You better be glad you're still alive." And I had just left Dad's house going down to visit him while I was preaching a revival in Atoka, Oklahoma. And I drove down home to spend Sunday afternoon between services and see the family, since I was that close. I said, "What are you talking about, sis? Lucky I'm still alive." He said, "You didn't know it, but Dad had his hand in his right front pocket. He had the hammer pulled back and his finger on the trigger. And when you left, he went into a fit rage of madness and said, 'I should have blown that sorry so-and-so's brains out while I had the chance. He thinks he's somebody. I'll show him he ain't nothing.'" A lot of people would quit. I cried. Oh, I cried and I cried. I said, "God, why?" I just went by to visit. That's all I went to do. What did I do, God? A lot of people said, "Well, I'm done. I'm done." When you're full of the power, you keep on going. It don't matter what anybody does. It doesn't matter what the devil does. All of hell can come against you. I'm a firm believer you can live next door to the devil and block away from hell and still keep victory. I believe that in the name of Jesus. Oh, I know. I said that one service and like to got into trouble. Like to started a riot. Because one man said, "I did preach. I married his brother, his sister." Boy, there wasn't a good spirit in that church in that area after that. Listen to me. We need Holy Ghost power in our personal lives and back in the church one more time, children. We need a demonstration of the... I'm talking about a real altar. I'm not talking about something worked up. I felt the Holy Ghost when you were singing that one song tonight. When you were singing, I can't even remember what it was. I'd never heard it before. I can't even remember. Sister, you sang. You sang the verses. What was that? I'd never heard that before in my life. "How marvelous, how wonderful." Sometimes I think we worship our worship. But when we begin to worship the object of our worship, and we begin to think about how marvelous and how wonderful his love is for me, I must tell you, I begin to feel the Holy Ghost touch me. I begin to feel him bless me and favor me. Why, preacher? Because he's been good to this old boy. He's been good to this old boy. He's loved me when I was unlovable. I know you've always been lovable, but there's times I ain't been lovable and he's loved me anyhow. I've never deserved one good thing from him, but yet he's given it to me. I've told him a time or two, "I don't know why, God, you even spend time with me. I was you, I wouldn't spend another minute with me. Now, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm so glad he loves us. And there's a song in my spirit tonight. I won't sing it and bother you. But it simply says, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you'll excuse me and let me speak, come hell or high water, I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to be a Pentecostal boy. I've decided to let the real, authentic Pentecostal power work in me and through me and on me. I'm not talking about this stuff that's worked up by something. I'm talking about this real move of God that would change people's lives and leave them different. Oh, my Lord. I've pastored people, boy, they jump on Sunday night and run the aisles and Monday morning live like the devil. And I used to tell them, I'm not concerned about how high you jump tonight. What I'm concerned about is how you walk when your feet hit the floor on Monday morning. And how the real Holy Ghost will cause you to walk right. The real Holy Ghost will cause you to live right. The real Holy Ghost will cause you to treat one another right. The real Holy Ghost will cause you to treat your wife and your husband right and your children right and your parents right. The real Holy Ghost will cause you to shut your mouth when you like to give somebody a piece of your mind. Now, the pastor being who he is, he's probably never experienced this before because he's a godly man. It's written all over him. But I've had God say to me a few times, boy, shut up. Boy, be quiet. Hush. None of you have ever had that happen, and I am so thankful that you're more godly than I am. But I've had him say, you need to really be quiet because you don't have any idea what you're speaking right now. The real Holy Ghost will shut my mouth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because there's times when I need it shut. Last Sunday in 2014, we need to embrace more of the Holy Ghost than we've ever experienced before. A preacher, I've been baptized with him. You ain't got all of it yet. There's some more to have. I'm 58 years old, been in this thing 42 plus years. And I feel like I just got started. Because the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. The more I experience, the more I realize I haven't experienced yet. Because there's so much to him. Would you stand with me? God, help me somehow to convey. Church, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, tonight I have preached what I felt like you directed me to preach tonight on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God, give us back that power one more time. Give us back that fire one more time. God, set us on fire. Individually and corporately, set us on fire. I ask you to fill believers with the Holy Ghost tonight. I ask you to place a hunger and a thirst and an overwhelming desire that cannot be satisfied except by the infilling of the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I like the words of that little song. It says, set a fire down in my soul that I cannot quench and I cannot control. Oh, God, would you do it one more time? Would you do it tonight in Alabaster, Alabama? Would you set a fire down in each heart and each life that can't be quenched and it can't be controlled? Oh, God, set us on fire again by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Bring us back, Father, again to scriptural Holy Ghost experience. in the name of Jesus.